are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Amen. Welcome to our live stream viewers today. Welcome to our Facebook viewers. Welcome to our YouTube viewers. And then, of course, our television audience right here from Tshwane, the capital of South Africa, Pretoria. Always a great honor to bring God's word to you right where you are across the world, America, Africa, Europe. May God touch you. May God bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. You can take your seat this morning. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you this morning. My message very simply is turning your bitter into sweet. Exodus 15, verse number 22, the Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Somebody say the waters were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he carried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the seven redemptive names of God in the Old Covenant, Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Our text today, verse number 25. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. I want to talk about this morning very briefly. Allowing God to turn your bitter into sweet. Israel just crosses the Red Sea after God delivered them with a mighty hand from Egypt. And for 3 days they have no water. Trusting God for a breakthrough, trusting God for a miracle, and suddenly they find themselves at a pool, not a sweet pool, a pool where the waters were bitter. They were expecting the same thing they expected at the Red Sea, the mighty hand of good deliverance, but suddenly they find themselves at a place called Marah. Marah literally means where the waters are bitter. Sometimes we find ourselves in life, we believe in God for great things, we believe in God for a breakthrough, we believe in God for a promotion, and suddenly we find ourselves at a place called Marah. We find ourselves at a place where the waters are bitter. We have a choice to make. We can either drink from those bitter waters and allow it to poison our lives, or we can trust God to turn our bitter into sweet. And I want to tell you this morning, there in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, wherever you are watching television, you are in the right place today. I want to tell you that God is going to turn your bitter into sweet. I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to pitch your tent at the bitter water. Oh, come on, get me preaching here this morning, because God's planned 12 wells of clean, sweet water for you and 70 palms where there will be dates and abundance. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we believe in God for great things and the opposite happens. An unexpected tragedy, an unexpected setback, a delay, a detour, a betrayal. People go for a job interview and they don't get the job. Or they get the job and then they're retrenched and they say, what happened? It's like sometimes life hands you a deck of cards that you're not prepared for. Now Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. So I'm preaching from a place of victory. But I want to talk to you what to do when you suddenly find yourself at a pool of bitter water. Are you going to drink? Are you going to dip your cup in that bitter water? Or are you going to trust God to turn your bitter into sweet? Sometimes we expect sweet water in the relationship, but rather than sweet water, we taste a cup of betrayal, a cup of rejection. go to the doctor for a general checkup, and you come back, and the checkup was a wake-up call. You studied for 3 years at the university, and you've got your master's degree after those 3 years, and you believe in God for a great job, and 3 years later, you can't even pay bills. You don't have money for the food. And you say, Pastor, I've been standing next to a pool called Mara. When I got married and I said, until death do us part, I meant that. But look where I am now. I never planned this. I never thought I would go down this road. Sometimes things happen that we have no control over. Paul the Apostle, even in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says there are things sometimes that happen in my life that leave me perplexed, puzzled, and bewildered. We don't know what is happening, but we know God is still in control. We make up our mind to believe that weeping endures for a moment, but joy comes again in the morning. Oh, come on, somebody that believes, God, that you are going to be pitching your tent at 70 palm leaves and 12 wells of sweet water. Jump to your feet and give the Lord a praise and believe God's going to turn your bitter into sweet in the name of Jesus. Sometimes things happen that want to take or knock the wind out of our sails. Things that leave people disillusioned. I want to talk to you today about how to turn your bitter into sweet. How to turn your tragedy into triumph. Your setback into a comeback. Even your very mistake into a miracle. Yes, Israel. I mean, God's been good to them. God delivered them. They on a journey, 10 miracles in Egypt. God delivers them through the Red Sea. And they come on the other side, and the first cup they taste is a bitter cup. I mean, if you ever had a bitter cup, like bitter coffee, or that's why we put sugar, or I do, or sweetener, because we don't like bitter. Well, some of you do. You drink bitters. Okay, whatever. But we like things to be sweet. You're expecting God for a sweet relationship, and you're now in a place where you're broken. You're abandoned. You're betrayed. Your very dad that had to raise you as a little girl and put his arms lovingly around you. He's the dad that gave you to an uncle that molested you and robbed you of your dignity. And now you live broken on the inside because you have partook of the cup of bitterness. A bitter cup. Our country has come through an historical bitter time. Many people were handed a bitter hand. A hand that destroyed families. A hand that destroyed people's dignity. A hand that destroyed our economy. Many people are still sitting next to the pool of Mara. But I want to tell you, and I want to say this to South Africa, that God has not forsaken us. God has not abandoned us. God is going to turn our bitter into sweet in this very land, South Africa, that we love so much. Come on, somebody lift your hand and say, God bless our land. God heal our land in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about how to turn your bitter into sweet. Number one, you have to look up. Sheba Hutimu. Kijk op. Moenie kijk net, kijk niet. Kijk op. You have to look up. When life knocks you to the ground, you better look up. Because if you don't look up, you won't get up. When life deals you an unfair hand, you better look up. God said to Moses, lift your eyes and see a tree. I want to tell you 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God put his son on a tree. He still is our Savior. He still is able to deliver you. He still is the remedy for the bitterness in your life. My dear friend, you have to look up in Jesus' name. Give somebody a high five and say, you have to look up. Number two, Chlohela. You have to let go. Oh, we like to feel on, hold on to our anger because we feel justified. We've been wronged. Number three, let God. Tumela Mudimu. When life knocks you down, when you stand by the bitter waters, don't murmur and complain, look up. Notice that God never told Israel to pitch their tent in the land of despair, the land of discouragement, the pool of Marah. When they reached the 12 pools, the 70 palm trees, they pitched their tents. I want to tell you, don't lose your vision. Don't lose your focus. Don't focus on that bitter pool. Don't focus on your hurt. Don't focus on your betrayal. Don't focus on not having a job. Don't focus on your setback. You've got to look ahead. You've got to look to your vision. You've got to look to the heavens. You've got to lift your eyes and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because he who promised is still able today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Satan gives you his best blow, you've got to look up and then you've got to get up. Murmuring and complaining will change nothing. You've got to get up. You've got to look up. You've got to get up. When those fiery serpents entered the camp of the Israelites and many of them died, God said to Moses, make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And everyone that is bitten when he looks shall be saved. We understand that also. Like the tree that Moses had to throw in the water to turn the bitter into sweet, again, is a typology of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Deliverer. You know, sometimes people say to us Christians, well, you just follow God because Jesus is a crutch to you. I want to tell you this morning and make it clear, Jesus is much more than a crutch to me. He is my life. He is my breath. He is my future. He is my tomorrow. Oh, he's much more than a crutch. He is my shoe. A foundation. He is the rock that I build my life on. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Numbers 21 verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and it was so. If a serpent had bitten anyone when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. I don't know what has bitten you. I don't know what has handed or who has handed you a cup with a bitter taste. But I want to challenge you this morning to make up your mind not to go and drink from that cup again and again. Stop cursing, nursing, rehearsing your tragedies and your setbacks of yesterday. Stop visiting the pool of yesterday. Begin to look to Jesus and look to the future so that you may be saved. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not only did Jesus die to get you to the heaven, but Jesus died to save you while you live in this world, to heal you, to keep you, to carry you, to help you, to comfort you. So when you're at that place, at that pool, unexpectedly, don't pitch your tent there. Look up and be saved. I'll never forget a family that called me to go and pray for their grandfather. He already had great-grandchildren. And when I walked into the hospital room, there was this 260-pound man tied to a bed, wrestling between life and death, in and out. The whole family was there. His wife was there. His daughter was there. The children were there. The grandchildren, the great-grandchildren were there. Everybody was in the room, a very solemn atmosphere. And I knelt beside the uncle, Werman Afrikaans, and I said to him, sir, you have to give your life to Jesus. And even though he was on his way out, he shook his head. He heard me, but he would not look up in his final moment. And as he shook his head, the whole bed shook. I said to him three times, sir, you have to give your life to Jesus. Look up in your final moment. He would not. He died without giving his life to Jesus. And still today, I think about how tragic, how sad, when people are facing a crisis, when people are at a pool of bitterness, how often people would rather nurse their hurt and hold on to their grievance, hold on to their anger, than allow God to replace it with his love and his mercy and his restoration. Which brings me to number two. You have to let go. Number one, you have to look up. Number two, you have to let go. Israel had to let go of their murmuring and their complaining. If you want God to turn your bitter into sweet, to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to remove that despair and that depression from your life, you have to let go of your anger, Oh, sometimes it feels good to be angry. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we want to live life and say, I want to get you back. It just makes me feel good. I want to get even with you. God also got even with us. But at the foot of the cross, when he placed a tree there 2,000 years ago, that's where we let go. We go to the foot of the cross and we forgive those who sin against us. We let go of our pain and we let go of our hurt and we let go of our disappointment and we let go of our frustration. We go into the throne room of grace and we let go. And some of you are sitting here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've let go before, but it's back. Then you have to let it go again. Let it go again and again and again until it loses its hold over you. But you have to let go. You have to look up and you have to let go. The same way Job did when life knocked him to the ground and his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, I would not. Though he smite me, yet will I trust him. He worshiped God in his lowest moment. Oh, come on. You can fall to the ground and give up, or you can fall to the ground and look up. You can fall to the ground and worship up. Somebody going through hell today, through the valley of the shadow of death, jump to your feet and give the Lord a 10-second praise and worship in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on. You are not going to drown in that pool. You are coming out today. God's turning your bitter into sweet. In the name of Jesus Christ, God will have the final say. Hallelujah. You have to let go of your anger. You have to let go of that hurt, that disillusionment, that bitterness. Oh, sometimes we want to hold on. We want to hold on to people. People that hurt us. I got married and I've been betrayed. Not only once, twice. I can't trust men. How many scarred people today in the world? Because they don't allow Jesus to turn their bitter into sweet. And now they're living in the place of bitterness. Refusing to forgive. Refusing to let go. You know, we've heard this a million times, but you know, bitterness is like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. God forgave you. The Bible is very clear. In Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive, that your Father may also forgive you. The Bible says in Galatians 5, faith works by love. The Bible instructs us, husbands, do not be bitter towards your wife, lest your prayers be hindered. Bitterness will rob you of the very future that God has for you, of the very life God has for you. I'll never forget the first home cell I had. Young man in Lady Branch started in the honor door, only with pensioners. I used to pray for the people that came to home cell. They were all pensioners, 70 years and above. There was this one gentleman who came. His name was Arthur. I prayed for him one day. He was struggling with rheumatoid arthritis. He had pains in all the joints of his body. His fingers were bent like this, and his back was bent a little bit like this. As I prayed for him one day, the Holy Spirit clearly told me, ask him who he has unforgiveness toward. I said to him, Arthur, God just told me. And I said this with humility. I said, you have unforgiveness towards somebody. He started crying. He said, it's my wife. His wife had been dead 3 years already. She was in the grave, but she still held him captive. He was still bound by a relationship, something that happened. I never asked him what happened. All I did was I say, won't you forgive her? He forgave her, and immediately God healed him. You see, sometimes we don't need a prayer of healing. We need to put down the cup of bitterness. We need to put down that thing that's been poisoning our emotion and poisoning our relationships and poisoning our future. Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 3 says, consider him who endured such hostility. When you live long enough, there will be plenty of haters. There will be plenty of people that want to put you down and tell you who you are not. But you have to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's cheering you on. You have to walk in forgiveness and not allow your spirit and your soul to be polluted by what people do or say about you in life, or you will never reach the 12 pools where God wants you to camp. How many people cannot move on to a new relationship because they're still drinking that cup of the previous relationship? How many people cannot love because they still drink the cup of hurt? How many people cannot just be peaceful with other people because they still drink the cup of anger? We have to put down that cup and allow Jesus Christ to heal us, to restore us, and to give us beautiful ashes. Can you say amen this morning? Come on, if you're receiving the word, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Bible says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Repay no man evil for evil. You know, if we live by the law, an eye for an eye, the whole world will be blind. Because somebody sinned against you and you sinned against somebody else. We have to forgive. Don't be so quiet now. Say amen. Otherwise, we're blind. There's a lot of blind leaders trying to lead the blind because they try to lead and build a future apart from the cross. It's only the cross that can heal our nation. It's only the cross that can reconcile hearts. It's only the tree that Jesus hung on. Oh, you better hear me, because I'm preaching the truth. It's only that tree, that rugged cross, that act of God's ultimate love that will cause human hearts to be changed. Nothing else. So you have to let go. Sometimes we don't want to, because we have so become used to our identity of pain and rejection and misery, like Israel, who just could not move into the future that God had for them because they were so bound to their past. They just could not let go. They just could not get up from, get over and get on. Let's not be like that. Let's put that cup of yesterday down. Let's go sit at the table that God has prepared for us. Let's allow God to serve us a cup of goodness and mercy. Let's allow God to serve us a cup where a cup that runneth over. Let's allow God to bless us and restore us in the name of Jesus. Say amen in Jesus' name. Then finally, my dear family, you have to let God. You have to let go. You have to let God. While you are still fighting the battle, God can't fight for you. While you still hold anger in your heart, God cannot work a work of restoration. You have to let go. Let go means to let go. I know it's not easy. That's why we need God's grace. But you have to let go so that you can be free. I mean, think about Joseph when he was betrayed by his brothers, the emotions he had to work through. And yet Joseph, when he stands in the palace, he says, what you meant for evil, God turned around for my good. I've chosen to drink from the cup of God. I've not drunk the cup that you served me in life. I'm not a result of what happened to me in life. I'm a result of what God planned for me in life. Amen. I drink from God's cup. I'm not going to drink from the devil's cup. I'm not going to drink from the cup of pain and the cup of misery and the cup of betrayal. I'm going to drink from that cup that God gave me through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So you have to look up and you have to let go. Where? At the cross. Because at the cross a beautiful exchange takes place. He's beauty for your ashes. He's healing for your sickness. 2,000 years ago, God put a cross, a tree, in the waters of humanity where we were all lost and broken and messed up. And God threw a tree. He put his son in the waters of humanity. And now he says to you and me to look unto him and you will be saved. Look to the tree, because the very tree, the very Christ that was crucified on the tree, will turn your every bitter into sweet. I want to tell you this morning that he is still able I want to tell you this morning that he is still willing. I want to tell you this morning there still is nothing that this amazing Savior cannot do. I want to tell you this morning that he will remove the garment of shame and he will clothe you with a garment of righteousness. I want to tell you that he will lift you up if you have fallen. I want to tell you this morning that he loves you even if you have run away from him. I want to tell you this morning that he can heal your broken heart. He can give you self-esteem again. He can fill your heart with hope again. But you have to come to the foot of the cross and say, Father, here I am. Here I am. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to look up unto you and I'm going to trust you, God, to do a new thing in my life. If that's you this morning, give the Lord a praise in this place there in Bloemfontein. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, your God is able to turn your bitter into sweet. Your God has not abandoned you. Your God will not fail you. Your God has not forsaken you. Your God will take you from the bitter waters of Marah and he will get you to the 12 wells and the 70 palm leaves. He has a great future planned for you. You better believe it today and praise God for a greater tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with fresh oil. My cup runs over. I don't know where you are, what you are facing. But God says, I'm preparing a table for you. And you have to come and sit at my table, not at your table, not at somebody else's table. A lot of people seeking a future listening to wrong voices in our country. You're a Christian. You have a father. You're not an orphan. You have a father who will make a way where there seems to be no way. Don't be poisoned by your yesterday. Don't allow the waters of yesterday to pollute your future. Allow God this morning to turn your bitter into sweet. Allow God this morning to give you beauty for ashes. I don't know what is in your heart. You know, I've been a pastor now for 34 years. And yes, the reality, I meet many people that they're there, but they're not there. Something happened. They've been disillusioned. They've been disappointed. Things are just not the way they want it to be. So they go into survival mode. You see in their eyes, the glow is out. The glint is out. It's like they're just going through there. Some of them are even thinking, God, where are you? Why have you done this? Why have you allowed this? God said to Moses, cast a tree. I've given you the answer. It might take a little bit of time, but I'm going to get you where I promised I'm going to get you. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. You stay in the journey. You keep looking to the tree. You keep looking to the future that I planned for you. You don't allow yourself to be disillusioned. You don't give up hope in the name of Jesus Christ because the cross is enough. Come on. I said the cross is enough. I said the cross is enough. What Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago is enough to turn your bitter into sweet. If you believe it this morning, give the Lord a praise with all your heart. Oh, come on. Some of you, the walls are going to come down. Some of you, the waters are going to change today. Some of you, hope is going to come in your heart again. Give the Lord a praise and step out of that bitter pool and move on to the 12 springs of water. Oh, come on. You have to relocate yourself. Relocate yourself in your heart. Believe that the promises of God are still yea and amen. Believe that God is still in control of your tomorrow. Praise Him like you believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 You know how tragic when we hear a 16-year-old commit suicide because the boyfriend broke with her. What a lie of the devil. A 30-year-old woman that finds out their husband was unfaithful and now it's all over. It's not over. I know it's painful. Sometimes things happen that we don't expect. But Jesus knew they would happen. That's why the Bible says we don't have a high priest who do not understand. He knows what we go through. He wants to walk you through. Sometimes he walks you through the valley. Sometimes he delivers you. But while you walk, his grace will turn the bitter into sweet so that you may bear it. Sometimes we just want things to disappear, but they don't disappear. Doesn't mean God has forsaken us. Just means that He gives us the grace to endure, like Paul the Apostle. Three times I cried, God, let this pass from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, I'm going to get you there, and I'm going to deliver you from every evil work. Paul is very clear about that. We understand that. We're not speaking from a place of defeat. We talk from a place of victory. But it's not always just that, okay, come, yes, a miracle, and you never have a challenge in your life again. That's a lie. Because even Israel, when they crossed the Jordan River, the miracles stopped. It's a lie. I know we want to believe it, but it's not true. I know we want to believe we live from miracle to miracle, but we live by faith, grace through faith. But I want to tell you this morning that God will not fail you. And I want to tell you that where you are now is not a destination. It's not the end. You're not going to pitch your tent in that place of despair, in the land of hopelessness. You don't pitch your tent there. You look up. You look forward. And you believe God for 12 springs of fresh water. Amen. Oh, come on, 70 palm trees, hallelujah. You believe God that He will turn your weeping into dancing. Come on, your mourning into joy. Come on, He will remove your sackcloth and ashes in the name of Jesus. He will anoint your head with fresh oil. Even in that marriage that have become barren, He will turn your bitter into sweet. In Jesus' name.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to You. I believe with all my heart You are the Christ. I believe You died for my sin. I believe You rose from the grave. Today, I open my life to You. And I invite You to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Please wash me in Your blood. Give me the power today to be God's child. Thank You for accepting me just as I am. Thank You for saving me. Thank You that I belong to You now and forever. I'm born again. I'm Your child. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.